Let's read together Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 24. In this chapter, we have another sin of the wilderness, the rebellion of Korah. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 14. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this: take censers, Korah, and all your company, put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them? And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" And Moses sent to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Let's begin our study of number 16 with some background notes. In the book of Jude, in the New Testament, we read about the false teachers who were already beginning to infiltrate the first century churches with their false teaching. Listen to verse 11 of the book of Jude. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." The reason the sin of these false teachers is likened to the rebellion of Korah is because the rebellion of Korah was a rebellion against God's authority. Look at what Moses says to the rebels in verse 11 of Numbers 16. "Therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord." The rebellion of Korah was not just against Moses and Aaron. It was against God himself. You know, the same is true today. When there is rebellion against an authority structure that God has ordained, whether it be family or church or state, it is rebellion against God. Rebellion is a serious sin. We see from this chapter, number 16, that the rebellion of Korah was not just the rebellion of one individual. No, this was a major rebellion. Besides Korah and some of the Levites, there were some men from the tribe of Reuben. And we see from verse 2 that there were 250 leaders from all the tribes of Israel that participated in this rebellion. These 250 men were not just rabble-rousers like the mixed multitude that we saw back in Numbers chapter 11. No, these were well-known leaders in Israel, men of renown, and they certainly had many followers. You know, it's easy not to rebel when there's only a few upstarts involved. But when leaders in the congregation, men of renown, are involved, it's easy to get caught up in what looks like a legitimate movement to overthrow an existing authority. We need to be careful and heed this warning. So we see that the rebellion of Korah was a major sin of the wilderness, and that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, the sin of contempt results from rebellion in the human heart. The sin of contempt results from rebellion in the human heart. You remember our diagram of the tree of pride and the sins of the wilderness? The tree of pride has many branches. We've seen four of them in our study of the sins of the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 11, we saw the branch of discontent with leaves of complaining. In Numbers chapter 12, we saw the branch of jealousy with leaves of criticism. In Numbers chapters 13 and 14, we saw the branch of unbelief with the leaves of compromise. And here in Numbers chapter 16, we have the branch of rebellion with the leaves of contempt. Notice how these rebellious leaders show contempt for Moses and Aaron. Verse 3. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" In other words, who do you think you are, Moses and Aaron? You're nobody special. We're as good as you are. They looked down with contempt on the leaders that God had chosen. This is evidence of rebellion in the human heart, then and today. Let me ask you this morning, is it possible that you're despising and showing disdain or lack of respect in some way for someone in the authority structures that the Lord has placed in your life, maybe in your family, or maybe in reference to an elder or church leader? The sin of contempt results from rebellion in the human heart. Look at the contempt that Dathan and Abiram showed toward Moses in verses 12 through 14. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." They are accusing Moses of blinding the people to the truth with this expression, "Would you put out the eyes of these men?" Who's really blind here? They are. To call Egypt, where they had been slaves, a land flowing with milk and honey, was certainly a blind distortion of the truth. That, by the way, is another telltale sign of a rebellious spirit, distorting the truth. Notice how Dathan and Abiram show contempt for Moses. "Who are you to lord it over us? We're not coming up to meet with you." Have we ever shown that same attitude of contempt towards people in positions of authority over us? The sin of contempt results from rebellion in the human heart. Doctrinal point number two. The sin of contempt results in severe discipline from the Lord. The sin of contempt results in severe discipline from the Lord. Verses 15 through 24. Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them." And Moses said to Korah, "Tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer." So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Then they fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with all the congregation?" So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Moses proposed a test to prove that he and Aaron had divine authority. Korah and all his company were to bring incense censers and present burning incense before the Lord, a function of the priests. And the Lord himself would show who were the true priests. Well, the Lord spoke in no uncertain terms, verses 20 and 21. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Once again, Moses and Aaron intercede for the people. You know, Moses and Aaron are both spiritual pictures or types of Christ here in their intercession for the people. Aaron as high priest is a type of Christ, our high priest. And Moses as mediator is a type of Christ as the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. As a result of the intervention of Moses and Aaron, God refrains from wiping out the whole congregation. But Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and the other rebellious leaders will undergo the judgment of God. The same is true today. Despising and treating with contempt those in a position of authority over you is a serious sin and must be disciplined severely. It shows that there is rebellion in your heart. Listen to what God says of the sin of rebellion in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination as the sin of idolatry. 1 Samuel 15, 23. You probably never thought of a little contempt and rebellion as bad as the sins of witchcraft and idolatry. But they are in God's sight. And God must use severe discipline when he sees rebellion and contempt for authority. Is there anyone here that's wondering why you're under the discipline of God at this present time? Are you showing a lack of respect for spiritual authority? The sin of contempt results in severe discipline from the Lord. What about practical application from this first half of Numbers chapter 16? Accept the position that God has given you. Accept the position that God has given you. Look at what Moses said to Korah in verses 8 through 10. Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren? And are you seeking the priesthood also? God in his grace had given the Levites a wonderful and important position in Israel. They were chosen to be the Lord's special servants and carry out all the ministry associated with the tabernacle, except for the function of the priests. But Korah and his company were not satisfied with just being Levites. They wanted to be priests as well. They were unwilling to accept the position that God had given them. What about us? Have we accepted the position that God has given us? Or are we disappointed and bitter because we feel we deserve more? Have you thanked the Lord for the gifts and talents that he's given you? Or are you despising the person who has what you want? Are you satisfied with being the man or woman that God has made you? Or are you a rebel at heart? Accept the position that God has given you.